Durasano Durvisaha.
Durasano
Durvisaha. Asanno Vividurat.
Asanno Vividurat.
Naiva Vibhavitum Sakyo.
Naiva Vibhavitum Sakyo.
Venarani Udito Analaha.
Venarani Udito Analaha.
Durasano Durvisaha. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Prithu was born of the dead body of King Vena. As fire is produced from the Arani wood, thus King Prithu will always remain just like fire, and his enemies will not be able to approach him. Indeed, he will be unbearable to his enemies, for although staying very near him, they will never be able to approach him, but will have to remain as if far away. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Prithu. Purport. Arani wood is a kind of fuel used to ignite fire by friction. At the time of performing sacrifices, one can ignite a fire from the Arani wood, although born of his dear father, King Prithu would still remain just like fire. Just as fire is not easily approached, King Prithu would be unapproachable by his enemies, even though they would appear to be very near him. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnum Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamiyam Dadati Svapadantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadatam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagarjamam Sagana Lagnathamitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Sadadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Mutamsha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamame Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prachare
Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Vishatayate Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurakrishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Sharadha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shirabhave Vrindavaneshu Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Nirajala Nivasaya Nityaya Paramatmani Balabhadra Subhadrabhya Nirannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Vipasendubhaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vishnaibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrinivasade Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vacham Mukham Gayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinadayanam Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here so that we can make some humble attempt to glorify Shrimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Prithu will always remain just like fire. And his enemies will never be able to approach him. Is a fiery process. And the fire of bhakti burns away all the contaminations, all the obstacles, all the shackles. All the unwanted. But the question is, how to prepare our hearts in such a way that this fire inflames more and more. Sukadeva Maharaj is giving the example of Aruni Wood. That yes, because of that friction, the Aruni Wood produces fire, and that fire increases more and more. So today's discussion, we will highlight on this aspect of how to prepare our hearts in such a way that this fire can inflame more and more. Referring also to Prithu Maharaj's qualities being described, are being glorified in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Doctors speak about that the secret of good health is very strong digestion. And Ayurveda speaks about that the secret of good digestion is a strong digestive power. The strong fire of digestion and the upkeep of the digestive power is the homework of the person. So if the fire of digestion is very strong, then even a rock can be digested. Similarly, we see that in our own hearts, if the intensity of bhakti is very strong, then all the impurities and provocations and agitations can be digested. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains about in the pastimes of Ajamila, and Srila Prabhupada highlights upon Ajamila's repentance after meeting the Vishnu Dutas. After going through that ordeal of being convicted and dragged by the Yamadutas, that excruciating experience of interfacing the Yamadutas. And then in the midst of it all, having the fortune of getting the association of the Vishnudutas. And Srila Prabhupada highlights in that section that how Ajamila was burning in this fire of repentance. That how he allowed himself to be overcome by the sinful propensities. How he opened the doors of his heart to the sinful proclivities of sense gratification. And he was
And he was. He was in a fortunate and stable position. He had a culture. He had training, spiritual culture, service. Everything was there at his disposal. And the problem was that he opened his heart. He opened the door to a wrong thing. Where he was not supposed to open his heart. Where he was not supposed to meditate. He allowed himself to be swayed off in that way. So Ajamila is repenting that how then started a cascade of sinful activities, one after another, intensifying, starting with casting off his wife, casting off his parents, and then one after the other, stealing, robbery, and so on. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Ajamila, so this fire of repentance is what burnt away all the sinful proclivities of Ajamila. This fire of repentance brought him to a state wherein in the next 12 years on the grounds of Haridwar he could perfect his life. That was the fire of repentance, that yes, alas, what a mistake I did. How I wasted my life. And this was the fag end of his life. This was the fag end of his life. But Ajamila could make it. So Prabhupada talks about this fire of repentance. And how strongly Ajamila was repenting. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Avadhut Brahmana talks about one of his gurus, out of 24. And there is this entire chapter dedicated to that. And one of the gurus of the Avadhut Brahmana, if you wanted to remind ourselves today, was Pingala, the prostitute. And Pingala, so Bhagavatam describes about the episode when Pingala is on her professional chores and desperately waiting for a customer with all customer care modules in place, desperately waiting for a customer and using all kinds of predictive algorithms, looking at the passers-by that yes, he is an elite customer who had been a regular member and so on and so forth. Actually, Pingala was obsessed with the idea of that yes, tonight there should be a customer. And the night passes by, and Pingala is becoming more and more desperate. And in the desperation, she is reflecting and she is hankering, and that yes, maybe the man next on the street, will be the customer. And as the night passes by, Pingala, she becomes frustrated with that hankering.
that yes, it's sense gratification. What good lies in that? And as the night is proceeding through, the Pingala in a deep meditation and musing over, and meditating over, and pondering over, this entire game of somehow or the other squeezing out sense gratification. And Pingala is frustrated with that. And therefore the dawn of morning brings the dawn of Krishna consciousness for her actually. Brings the dawn of elevation for her. And there this chapter concludes with the verse, Asha hi paramam dukham, nirasha hi paramam sukham. That yes, the factor to steer through the provocations, the shackles of this world is nirasha. Disgust with this material world. Disgust with this material world. And actually we can see that material energy is very merciful in that way. Why? Because in the material world, sense gratification is not easy. It is not easy. It is not easy to squeeze out sense gratification and to continue sense gratification. It is not easy. It takes so much turmoil on the part of our living energy to actually steer through sense gratification. It's not easy. It is so difficult. It is so difficult. And that's a very good point actually. Because had sense gratification been very easy to touch and to carry on, then the state of intoxication would have remained in a very severe way. But just because it is not so easy, so time and again we get an opportunity to rethink. Time and again we get an opportunity to rethink. It's just like time and again we get an opportunity to rethink. What is easy? What is easy? You know, to get a seat in a good school for children, the parents have to do so much tapasya. What is easy in this world? I had seen my own father standing for hours in line and queue for days and days to get a form in St. Joseph's Academy because he wanted me to get government education right from the beginning of childhood. What is easy? To get a seat in an engineering or medical college, is that easy? Then you get a stable job, is that easy? Yes, intoxication, addictions, one can catch it very easily. But to carry it on is very difficult. Because it takes money. To carry it on is very difficult. So we see that this material world, in that sense, it's a merciful setting. Because time and again, we are forced to rethink. So one can drink and he may get intoxicated, but that intoxication goes down after some time. And one is having a hangover, then he gets to think again that should I again indulge into it or not. That is the point actually. In that way, the material world is a fortunate place. That yes, even though owing to previous conditionings, agitations and provocations, one may land up in making a mistake, but it's not finished forever.
That again that wave of the tide goes down and one has opportunity to stand up again. One has opportunity to walk back again. One has opportunity to walk back again. So yes, in this way the material energy is offering that friction. In that way material energy offers that friction, which can help us resurrect back, which can help us refocus back. Just like Pingala, or just like Ajamila. So therefore, a sadhaka's prime focus has to be to upkeep this state of heart of desperately seeking for Krishna's truth. So we see just like you know, when we ignite a fire on the gas stove, then there is the spark of fire. But along with the spark of fire, is one thing, which is a matchstick or a lighter. But that spark of fire is one thing. The other thing is that a constant supply of an inflammable substance. The gas, LPG, the constant inflammable supply, which reacts with the spark. And that's what leads to the fire. And as long as the supply is there, the fire is there. And the supply is finished, the fire extinguishes. So the focus of a sadhaka has to be supply. Supply of this inflammable gas. Srila Prabhupada explains in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the pastimes of Maharaj Gajendra, in explaining about one of the prayers of Maharaj Gajendra, Srila Prabhupada explains this point, that actually yes, in this material world one interfaces numerous amount of miseries and numerous amount of troubles and obstacles. Rather one is crushed in this material world. The material world, the crushing machine actually. Yeah, so rather one is crushed in this material world. But then Srila Prabhupada makes the point that just interfacing suffering is not enough for one to surrender to Krishna. It is not that if one gets frustrated with his attempts to enjoy, then he takes to Krishna consciousness. That algorithm doesn't work. Because Maya creates layers and layers of illusion and deeper illusion and delusion, and it goes on actually. So when one is frustrated at one layer of illusion, he dives into delusion, a deeper illusion. So that's what happens actually. Therefore just suffering is not enough. The suffering of this material world creates that friction. But that is not just enough to ignite this fire. The fire of bhakti, so much so that it can burn off the impurities, it can burn off the obstacles, it can burn off the viruses. So the supply has to be there. The spiritual supply has to be there. In terms of association, in terms of sadhana, in terms of spiritual intake. So we will see, yes, sadhana bhakti is our petition to Krishna, our prayer to Krishna. Our endeavors for sadhana bhakti is our petition and prayer to Krishna.
for His mercy. But sadhana bhakti is also the process of intaking the fuel. So then the fire which is produced can ignite in a big way. So this is the point actually which prepares the state of our heart. Like the Aruni wood. And then the friction can lead to a profuse fire actually. Therefore, the point is that actually the Shastras explain that bhakti is such a powerful process, bhakti is such an amazing process that nothing can stop the flow of bhakti unless we shut down the doors. Even incapability or inability cannot stop bhakti. So yes, in a conditioned state, we are all shackled, and because of that shackle, the motion is a little difficult. The dynamism is difficult. It takes time to pick up. It works slowly. It moves. It drags. That is a state we can see. It depends on the conditionings in that Ramayana actually. But then the Shastras and the Acharyas explain that is not a hindrance to progressive bhakti. But there is one factor which can overcome all this, and that factor is how deeply, how strongly, how intensely, how much we are crying for Krishna. And Acharyas and Shastras explain that. That yes, these anarthas can be overcome, these obstacles can be overcome and burn off. And we may not be able to do it our own strength, but yes, if we can simply cry and cry and cry, and everything is overcome. And therefore, His Holiness Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj would say that yes, I have opened a crying school. He said, I have opened a crying school, and here I am to teach all of you how to cry and cry and cry. Cry for Krishna. Cry for Krishna's mercy. The Maharaj would say that yes, He has opened this crying school. So that we can learn to cry and cry and cry for Krishna. That is the point actually. That is the point when by that crying for Krishna, the state of the heart becomes like Arani. And we see just like this is a glorious moment where these, on the instruction of the sages, the professional reciters are able to see with that transcendental vision the glorious effulgence of Ritu Maharaj, and they are not able to stop themselves from glorifying Him. That is the episode. And they are able to see that amazing fiery effulgence from Ritu Maharaj, and they are able to see that yes, this fiery effulgence can bring about such a panoramic, colorful ambience for the world at large in terms of an effusing outpour of spiritual energy because of Prithu Maharaj's presence. And they are able to see that. So that is the spiritual substance actually. So when this comes up, then one is able to see that yes, it is all glorious. It is all wonderful. It is amazing. Just like we see in the pastimes of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons. And being the king of the demons, taking forward his responsibilities as the king of the demons, he attacked the heavenly planets. His army was smashed to dust and powder. and what to say of his army, even he was killed. Even he was destroyed. He couldn't match it. He lost it. He was devastated. He was finished. And at that point of time, Shukracharya brought him back to life again. And brought him back to life again. And then the pastime explains, as we all know, the pastime explains that now Bali Maharaj, what he did was he started serving the Brahmanas. He started serving his guru. He was serving his guru very dearly. And only at the point when there was a higher dharma, he rejected Shukracharya. But yes, all through. And he was serving the Brahmanas. And by that, he could develop so much spiritual potential. By that, the state of his heart was in such a way that that fire of effulgence, that spiritual substance was glowing from his existence. So at this point of time, he attacked again the heavenly planets. And it is explained in such a pictorial manner, in such a iconographic manner, it is explained that how when Maharaj Bali attacked again, just seeing his photographs on the WhatsApp, and how just seeing his effulgence, the demigods did not even dare to enter the fight. So they simply picked up their bags, took a flight, and went incognito. So that's where we see that fiery spiritual effulgence, that fiery spiritual effulgence which comes from preparing that state of the heart. As we are seeing in Prithu Maharaj, as we are seeing in Prithu Maharaj's pastimes here, these professional reciters, they are able to see with that transcendental vision Prithu Maharaj's effulgence. And that kind of effulgence, that kind of fire is very much possible in our lives as well. And it all depends on how much we cry. How much we cry and how long we cry and how deeply we cry. So I was just going over this particular chapter to see that what all, going through this particular chapter to see that now, what all qualities, what all aspects are being glorified. And we have been seeing every day. But one very interesting, one very amazing thing is that, you see, these professional reciters, they are glorifying how Prithu Maharaj is maintaining the religious principles. And they are glorifying that how Prithu Maharaj is igniting everyone to follow the religious principles. And in that way, they are saying that yes, he is maintaining the populace. How? By inducing them to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. And then it is explained how he is like the sun in distributing his mercy. And then it is explained that how he is taking charge of the various departments to help out the citizens. They are glorifying that he is himself taking charge and adding on to whatever inabilities are there in the handling of the various departments so that the people can be served genuinely. And it is explained how he is so tolerant and how he always has a smile and affection for everybody. And here it is explained that how he is like the fire and no enemies can approach. And Prithu, that one factor Prithu is present, Maharaj Prithu, then no enemies can come near. And then it goes on to say that in the next particular verse, it doesn't have a purpose. So, it is explained how he is like the air. He is like that air who is sustaining. So all these glorifications actually are very amazing. And the amazing aspect in that is that all of these, if we reflect on it, or if we touch on all of these, we can see that all of these are highlighting one particular aspect of Prithu Maharaj. And that is a lesson for us. And that one particular aspect is the selflessness of Prithu Maharaj. The selflessness, selfless sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj. Which is what is being so prominently glorified. If we see, everything which is glorified is in terms of Prithu Maharaj's extending himself for the citizens, in helping them connect to Krishna, his selflessness, his sacrifice for the mission is what is being glorified actually, is what is being glorified. And so reading through these qualities, then this is an important lesson for us actually, that yes, this is one another factor, powerful factor, which can help our heart prepare that state like the Arani wood. This is one other factor. That yes, now Prithu Maharaj being empowered by Krishna's energy himself, and therefore it is very natural for him to be in such a position, in such a disposition, and the state of selflessly sacrificing for the sake of the citizens, to help them, to help people getting connected to Krishna, and to encourage them and to serve them in every possible way. So that is an exemplary example, and Prithu Maharaj is epitomizing that example. But that is also a lesson for us, that yes, for us it may not be very natural to be selfless. It may not be very natural to extend ourselves, to feel for others, to sacrifice our time, energy, mental, physical, intellectual faculties to help others, to in that way place ourselves in that fire of the Sankirtan mission, that preaching mood, that selflessness, that sacrifice. But yes, if we drag ourselves, if we push ourselves, that prepares the proper state of our heart for this fire to kindle. That prepares the proper state of our heart. That selflessness. So yes, at our stage it is difficult, but if you drag on and push on, the heart becomes like Arani. And then one can see this panoramic glorious effulgence which destroys all the impurities and obstacles. And we are dragging on, and then we can walk, and then we can brisk walk, and then we can jog, and then we can run, and then we can fly in this mission of Sankirtan. So to summarize, today we were discussing on this glorification of Prithu Maharaj, that Prithu Maharaj is like a fire and no enemies can approach near him. So we wanted to highlight on what all factors can prepare the state of our heart that this fire of bhakti can profusely ignite. And we were talking about repentance. We talked about we talked about disappointment or disgust, how the mental energy actually time and again brings us to a point where we can actually come out, when nothing is lost, and we can actually come out of the shackles of mental energy. And we also talked about that incapabilities and inabilities, and the extent of how much we are bound cannot stop us, provided we learn, and we learn how to cry, and we practice to cry and cry and cry for Krishna, because that is what brings us to that state of the heart. And then further, we also touched on that yes, if we push ourselves to sacrifice on grounds of selflessness, the Sankirtan mission, to sacrifice for others, to feel for others, then that as well helps us to prepare this state of the heart. Then the heart becomes like Arani, and then that fire, we also equated fire to the fuel or intake of sadhana, and then this fire in that way picks up, then it can be a very panoramic display, just like Bali Maharaj, just by seeing him the demigods fled away, just like Prithu Maharaj, just by seeing him the glorification is going on and on and on. And this is going to increase even further when the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj move forward. We'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
If there are any questions and comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for your wonderful exposition. Even though we are trying to surrender to Krishna, we are really chanting and we are trying to follow all the rules and regulations, yet we find there is a lot of waxing and waning in our devotional service.
What is that?
Waxing and waning.
Yeah, waxing and waning.
In the devotional service.
Okay.
Why we are not at the top?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Prabhu, this waxing and waning helps us to deepen and intensify. Many times that is observed that we do get amazingly inspired. And we are such, and yes, and he says, yes, the mission of the Lord, and now Sankirtan, and that's it.
Yeah,
and now,
fire.
Yes, so one gets fired up. But then the situations around are such that the fire goes down. Huh? So yes, many reasons. One reason is also that the inertia of our conditionings, you know, the inertia of our conditioning. So when we get inspired, we can see that time, you know, the door is a little bit open and we get some spiritual sparks inside and we can see it is amazing. So that's like a trailer. And when it goes down, one can understand, now I need to work hard to get it. Is it not? It's like, you know, that's like a trailer. Then one understands that, yes, now I need to work hard to get it. So yes, in this way, time and again, if we are around the... if we are around the association of devotees, and time and again that inspiration comes because of the devotees, because of the atmosphere, because of the saintly association. And that we should take it as a trailer. That yes, this state can be, just like you go for yatras, just like you get saintly association, then we are actually catapulted, and then we are not following, then there is no gravity which is acting on us, and our feet are in the air, and it's very intense, it's a very amazing experience, but then we land back and then it is not like that. So we understand that this is a trailer. So we got a trailer by mercy of Krishna and the devotees, and now we should work hard to make it permanent. To make it permanent. So that is one aspect which we can learn. That's because of the inertia of our conditioning. So yes, we need to pay the price. But Krishna is so merciful, if we are just hanging around the association of devotees, time and again these sparks will come. And any spark we start taking it seriously and work on, then it ignites deeper. The other aspect is that material energy in this way is giving us an opportunity to rivet very strongly. Why? Because if something is very cheaply obtained, it will not last for long. Unless we pay the price deeply, we will not rivet it. If something is very cheaply obtained, it will not last for long. Just like sometimes there are movies where somebody has got a lottery and he got millions of dollars, and but he squandered it all. That is a movie about, no? So why? Because he did not... Now there was, it was cheaply obtained, so cheap to come, cheap to go actually. So it is good that we have to struggle to get Krishna's mercy. Why? Because we will never lose it. If we work hard for it, if we are craving for it, if we are crying for it, then when we get it, we will not give it. This is true for everything, this is true for service also. If we get service too cheaply, then we will leave it also very cheaply, okay? But if one has struggled for it, if one has paid the price for it, then he will keep it very dear to one's heart. So in that way we can take the maximum meaning, yes. That if I go through this, I am actually getting riveted very deeply. So that, and in that way I am getting trained, so that when that final exam comes, then I have very thorough preparation, like that. Now, there is no question which can go beyond my preparation. Like that. So that way we can understand.
So what you are saying, anarthas, anarthas holding yourself. are holding us up.
That's true. And actually, Shastras also explain that when a devotee in his bhakti, he becomes a little slack, when Krishna triggers the knob of some anarthas on, then all of a sudden one finds lust, greed, envy, and then so that he can intensify his bhakti again, because he was getting little slack and diluted. So Krishna has amazing ways to help us in that way. Yeah, so we'll stop here. Grantharajana Bhagavatam ki. Thank you.